First of all, thank you all very, very much for assembling together today on Bhadra Purnima to listen to the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I request you to chant with me the invocation mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today is a very special day, which, like all special days, grant blessings to all those who observe it, who are doing certain spiritual practices. I would like to quote from the Bhagavatam, what is the special day today, so that you can get some idea how you can observe this day to your full benefit. Proshtapadyam punamasyam hemasingha samanvitam dadatiyo bhagavatam sojati paramangatim. If on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, this is today, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, he will obtain the supreme transcendental destination. Why should one place the book Bhagavatam on a golden throne today? The answer is that the Bhagavatam is the king of all spiritual literatures. Once there was an assembly in Brahma's planet where different scriptures argued about a subtle philosophical point, what would constitute liberation from material existence. So the scriptures, in their personified forms, were discussing, and each one was raising their argument for their particular view, their particular point, their particular take or perspective on this question: what is liberation for a living entity? And the more perspectives came, and the more the scriptures argued, the more an atmosphere of absolute confusion reigned. I don't know if you have ever been in discussions where many, many perspectives were explained, but there was no conclusion, no one direction, no orientation. It's kind of dissatisfying, and the more is spoken, the more confusion is there in the room. And you just want to get up and say, I want to know now what is right and what is wrong. Please explain to our full satisfaction. So this discussion remained inconclusive until the Srimad Bhagavatam arrived and gave its perspective that liberation means to be situated in one's own constitutional position as a pure soul who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And immediately when the words of the Bhagavatam came, everyone could hear the sound of truth, and all the scriptures in one opinion, bowed down to the Srimad Bhagavatam and its perspective. So that is why we place today, on the Bhagavatam day, the Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne, like we would do for a king. When the king arrives, he needs a throne. The Bhagavatam is accepted unreservedly as the supreme divine scriptures. It says in the next text in the Bhagavatam, all other Puranic scriptures shine forth in the assembly of saintly devotees only as long as that great ocean of nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not heard. Well, we spoke about it. There was this assembly, and all scriptures were celebrated. Yes, a good point. But then when the Srimad Bhagavatam arrived, everyone was satisfied and heard. It is the essence of the scriptures. And it is said, just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, and just like Lord Achyuta is the supreme among deities, and Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, so in the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all scriptures. This is how it is described. And I don't know about you, but we have purchased a golden throne from the internet, and we have the Bhagavatam wrapped in golden paper, and tomorrow, actually, the person whom we wanted to give the Bhagavatam was going to come today here to our ashram, but he will come tomorrow, so then we will give him a gift. Let us say, today I will give this in my mind, and tomorrow he will receive it. I think this is a good for all devotees to do. Let us hear some more of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, which will give pleasure to your heart. I think you all know the narration from the Padma Purana that once Narada Muni came to the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan, and there he saw a most shocking scene. There was a beautiful, beautiful lady crying piteously on the banks of the Yamuna. There were many other servants of this lady there. She was a royal lady. And when Narada Muni came closer to look why she was crying, he saw that there were two men lying in the sand of the Yamuna, just about to die. When he asked what is going on, he was informed that this lady is Bhakti Devi, whose two sons, knowledge and detachment, that is Jnana and Vairagya, were so weakened because it was the age of Kali, that they were dying now. Imagine to see a woman whose two sons are dying before her eyes. I think Lekha Saravanti is a mother, and she knows how worried she is as a mother that her boy, her son, will have only the best circumstances in his life. And when there is a little threat to her son, then the mother will come and try everything to protect her son. Now, Bhakti Devi could not save her two sons from dying, and she was really crying. She was really in a very, very, very desperate situation. So Narada Muni thought, what should we do? And this is a long, long explanation, but in the end, he recited, he first tried to recite various hymns, various mantras, various wisdom scriptures, but the two men continued to just breathe in short, gasping breaths because they were dying. And finally, he recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as they heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, wow, they came back to life. There is it is very nice. Just by hearing the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Padma Purana says, Bhakti, Jnana and Vairagya are nourished. This will relieve the misery of Jnana and Vairagya and will make Bhakti blissful. It means when you hear, my dear devotees, the immortal nectar of the Bhagavatam, your knowledge will receive new strength, and also your ability to detach yourself from Maya will become strong. Jnana and Vairagya. This is such a problem for us in Kali Yuga. We always lose our vision. What should be done? What should not be done? For that, listen to the Bhagavatam, which has risen like a blazing sun on the sky of Kali Yuga, to give your knowledge new perspectives, new understandings, new strengths. And also, we all have this problem. We know what is right to do, but we are so attached to the wrong thing that we are falling victim to it. I knew we have gotten some cream cheese. Krishna Prasadam, we have gotten cream cheese. I don't know if you know what is this cake. It is a very powerful cake. And because we are vegans in our little ashram, we got a vegan cheesecake. Cheesecake is the word. One cream cheese or cheesecake is very good. But if you take two or three, oh, you cannot sleep in the night. So we were eating the good cheesecake, and then one of us on the table said, I know I shouldn't take a second one, but I will take a second one because I'm too attached. This is I asked him in the how are you doing? He said, I took too much cream cheese. Oh, what is it called? Cheesecake. The next morning, and he had suffered in the night. We know about this. We know we shouldn't do it. We know we shouldn't think so negatively. This is a very big thing I see in our members who want to become devotees. They are overcome by a negative mindset, and they think always negative thoughts. We know it's not good for us, but because we are so attached, we do the same thing which harms us. When you hear the Bhagavatam, your vairagya, your detachment will be born, and you will be able to say no thank you to all the things which are harmful on your spiritual journey. This is described in the Padma Purana. It is said, when a lion roars, wolves flee in fear. So merely by the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga are destroyed. Bhakti, the flow of love of God, along with Jnana and Vairagya, will enter every house and dance in the heart of every living being who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam or who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Krishna. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we hear some more information how the Bhagavatam is important to for our spiritual life. We hear that the Bhagavatam is a pratinidhi rupa of Krishna. That means a representation of Krishna. You know, when Krishna was present on the planet Earth for some time, but then he decided to leave the planet Earth. It came about by his divine arrangement. It's a very interesting story. Actually, do you know, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna came to Gandhari, the mother of Duryodhana and his 99 brothers. And Gandhari said, "O Krishna, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I love only you. You are my all and everything. But by your arrangement, my 100 sons had to die in the dust of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I know you are my Lord, but now I will curse you." And she took off the blindfold from her eyes and she said, "I curse you that just like all my sons have died, all the members of your dynasty will also die, and you will leave the planet alone." Krishna smiled. You know, there was Gandhari, the mother. Just imagine these two extremes in her heart. One day, on one side, she said, "Krishna, you are my Lord. You are my everything." But she could not come to terms or come to a balanced understanding that it was the same Lord whom she worshipped, who had brought all these warriors together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, who had made them fight to the death, and who was therefore the indirect cause of the death of all her sons. So she was torn aside. So she cried and he said, "You are my Lord, but I curse you." Krishna could understand the sentiment. He walked to Gandhari, who was trembling and who was crying, and he took her and embraced her and said, "Do not worry, this is also my plan, that I should be leaving the world. My time has come, and nothing moves beyond my plan." Are we not also sometimes like this? We are devotees of Krishna. We know Krishna is our Lord and Master. But we cannot always accept all the arrangements which he makes. And we argue sometimes with him. "Why did you have to do this? Why did this thing happen in my life? Why was I misunderstood? Why?" And so on and so forth. No, very, very interesting. But I wanted to say, due to the curse of Gandhari, that is one, let me say, apparent cause, eine augenscheinliche Ursache. Krishna left the planet. But now, as he was leaving the planet, and he was just going out of the atmosphere of the world, he saw that someone else was entering the atmosphere of the world. And this person was not a good person. This person was the embodiment of all evil. It was the crafty, sly, clever Kali Yuga with all his bad machinations. Machinations means manipulations. Krishna looked back and thought, wow, the people of the world will not be able to deal with Kali Yuga. It will not, they cannot do this. They are too weak. I must help them. I must help them so that they can overcome the influence of Kali Yuga. And then from him manifested a form, Pratinidhi Rupa, a representative form of Krishna. And that was the Jainitai?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, Hare Krishna. You have a representative from Delhi, Jainitai. So this is explained in the Bhagavatam itself. Krishna svadamo pagate dama gyanadibi saha kalo nashta drishamesha purana kodunodita. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. No? Just after Krishna had departed to his own abode, the Srimad Bhagavatam came, accompanied by Dharma, by knowledge, Vairagya, and everything. And then the verse says, persons who have lost their vision due to the darkness of the age of Kali shall get light from this Srimad Bhagavat Purana. This is the beauty of the Bhagavatam. If you go and read the Bhagavatam, then Bhakti Devi is given strength and Bhakti comes right into your house. On that beach of the Yamuna, Narada Muni recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jnana and Vairagya, the two deadly mortified or dying sons of Bhakti, got their life again and became rejuvenated. Bhakti Devi was so grateful. She said, now Kali Yuga is coming. Please tell me, where should I reside? And answer was, Bhakti is established at a place where the Srimad Bhagavatam is recited. She always comes into the temple of the heart when someone recites this very sacred scripture, this wonderful scripture of the Bhagavatam. I have a very, very, very nice book here in front of me where a few glories of the Bhagavatam are described. Krishna says, I'm personally present in that house where even half a verse is kept in kept.
Sometimes devotees asked me, how will we find the time, please, to regularly recite the Bhagavatam? It is not easy for us to make time because we are very busy. But the Puranas, Padma Purana says, recite every day one verse
in your home of Bhagavatam. Then the house becomes a holy place, a place of pilgrimage. If you can't do that, recite even half a verse, and still your home will become a place of a pilgrimage. Yesterday, there was an interview for the ISKCON education about the Bhagavatam, and I was asked in the interview, how do we read the Bhagavatam as to make best use out of it? And I said, the most important is that you make it a regular habit to read. I want to really inspire all of you who listen today to this presentation to try to make it a regular habit to read the Bhagavatam. It's not so effective if you read sometimes and then you stop and then you read again after some time. It is more effective if you read even a small portion every single day, because that will expose your soul to the constant influence of the Bhagavatam, and you will be constantly surcharged with transcendental knowledge. You should read the Bhagavatam regularly. You should invest some faith in the Bhagavatam. And finally, you should make some effort or some, to read. And this becomes very interesting. What should be the effort which you can do? See, by now I think you all know, when you do any activity in bhakti, your whole life influences this. I would like to give you an example. If you chant, for instance, the holy names of Krishna, but you had very bad relationships with devotees, you might have even done some offenses to devotees, then that influences the quality of your chanting. Or if you try to chant or read the Bhagavatam and you did just something the other day which was not in harmony with the way you want to live your life in bhakti, you may have even broken some of the principles, then you see how also that influences your practice of devotional service. In other words, bhakti is not just a philosophy, it's a way of deep spiritual life. And when you do your bhakti, your whole life is there and tends to influence the outcome of what it is. Prabhupada speaks like this in the Bhagavatam. He says that the secret of hearing the Bhagavatam or reading the Bhagavatam is to be fully attentive, to read with rapt attention. The German word for rapt attention would be gespannte Aufmerksamkeit. So, then he says, but rapt attention cannot be given by someone whose mind is impure. Here you have it. When you live a life which contaminates your life, if you live a life which does something to your mind and your heart which you don't want, then you cannot give rapt attention. No one can be pure in mind, Prabhupada says, whose actions are not pure. You need to have pure actions. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping,
fearing, and mating.
But somehow or other, if one hears from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I would like to tell you a little fictional story. There was a blind man. He came to a festival. The main attraction of the festival was that personality who was celebrated all over as the Lord of Dance. He was known as the best of dancers. He was celebrated as a very attractive person. And that festival where he came was a festival where one book was read. The book's name was the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the poor beggar did not listen to the words of the Bhagavatam, and therefore he could not see the Lord of Dance. Everyone else was a blind man. Everyone else was not able to see. But everyone else listened to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then their eyes were opened by the Bhagavatam. But our poor blind man went away because he didn't want to see through the eyes of the Bhagavatam. He wanted to see through these defective eyes, which can never see the transcendental form of the Lord. My dear devotees, this is a parable, an analogy. We are all blind. Blind people, we may see with our eyes, but we are spiritually blind. The eyes of the heart have not been opened. However, if we can make it a point to regularly read the Bhagavatam with attention, in this way, be in contact with that scripture where Bhakti Devi is present, where Jnana is present, where Vairagya is present, then our eyes will be opened and we will be able to see the Lord or feel His presence in our life. That is the blessing of the Bhagavatam. So if you have not yet taken full advantage of the Bhadra Purnima, you can take advantage in two ways. One is become a regular reader of the Bhagavatam. And the second is you can also give the Bhagavatam away. If you are interested to find out how you can give the Bhagavatam away, you can contact our Jaigora Prabhu in Hamburg. He, as far as I heard, has sets of Bhagavatam in the German language. Now you can contact the Bhaktivedanta, Library Service in Belgium. They have English copies, and you can make a present. Why not make a present to yourself? That's a good plan. Good plan. Everyone always in Kali Yuga thinks of himself the most. So today, take that selfishness and give yourself the best present that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you have it, give yourself the second time the Srimad Bhagavatam by making a firm intention to read daily in the Bhagavatam. That is what I wanted to say. I have looked at our time. I think my time is over. Jainitai,